Warning, this episode includes topics of extreme violence that some people might be uncomfortable listening to. Listener discretion is advised, especially for young children.
All of a sudden, we're working on a Ouija board, which I've pretty much used safely since I was 7. But he said something really idiotic, and not him, but the cameraman facing him burst into flames. Up his back, like spontaneous combustion, you guys. He was not standing in front of a fireplace or a candle.
Some of the most iconic horror movies in cinematic history are actually based on a true story. And in this podcast, me, Yeshu Upasani, a paranormal believer,
and me, Arvind Raghunathan, a skeptic,
dive deep into the true stories these movies are based on and argue whether there really was a supernatural presence or not.
And in this season, we're setting out to answer the question of whether humans consciously open themselves up to the paranormal, or if all they're feeling is paranoia.
Join us on this journey as we discover what's behind the story. Sick. Sweet. All right.
Yes.
You good to go?
I am good to go, but I'm also going to highlight my parts because I already know I'm going to mess
up.
Oh
my god, I totally forgot to do that.
Just start it. I'll just start. I can do it.
Okay. Okay. Hello and welcome back to the season finale of Behind the Story. Wow. Holy moly, this is the last official episode of season 3, a season which, to be honest, was our least likely one to actually finish. Arvind and I had crazy summers this year, and we weren't sure whether this was going to happen or not, but here we are. As always, I am Yeshri Upasani, the paranormal ghost-loving believer.
And I'm Arvind Raghunathan, the skeptic who successfully proved in this season that the paranormal is not real. We're going to be saying this a lot this episode, so get ready to listen. But just right off the bat, want to say thank you. Without your support and the fact that some of you tune into every single episode right when it airs is incredible.
But moving on from the savvy stuff, let's get into what this episode is all about. Behind the Story is a podcast that uncovers the true stories behind famous horror movies. And thanks to this podcast and your support, we've had the opportunity to talk to some incredible people. Like in today's episode, where we talked to ultra-famous Patty Negri, aka the Good Witch of Hollywood.
But first, let's talk about the movie we're uncovering. Today's episode revolves around the movie Host, released on December 4th, 2020, and it's a truly fantastic horror movie that takes place over a Zoom call. You heard that right, a Zoom call. But don't be fooled, the movie is terrifying, especially with the incredible performances of Hayley Bishop, Gemma Moore, Emma Webb, Radina Drandova, and Caroline Ward. The movie follows four friends who join a virtual seance with a medium where they accidentally let in a malicious spirit.
So to fully understand what a seance is, how it works, and the world of being a medium, we talked to Patty Negri, one of the most famous mediums of all time, who's a semi-regular on Ghost Adventures, but on episodes of Good Mythical Morning, A Little Late with Lily Singh, and more. Those are just a few of all the TV shows and videos she's been on, and guys, she is the sweetest person, and we had so much fun talking to her.
This season, we set off to figure out whether humans consciously put themselves in a possible haunting, or if all they're experiencing is paranoia. And we'll come back to this question at the end of the episode, so don't forget it. Make sure to keep it in mind during our discussion.
Finally, this season we're donating all the funds we make to Planned Parenthood and our local abortion fund to protect a woman's right to her own body.
And now, let's get on to the interview with Patty Negri.
Hi!
Hi! Hi! How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
I'm Yashvi, and that's Arvind.
And I'm Arvind.
Hi.
Yeah, this is so exciting. I used to watch you on Ghost Adventures all the time, and it's a show me and Arvind and I will talk a lot about.
Good. I love working with the guys. I just worked with them a couple of weeks ago on something. Probably, I don't know when it's going to air, but always an adventure. You never know where you're going. You never know what you're doing. There's a new kind of a spin-off thing. I can't talk about it yet, but it's going to be really fun too.
Okay, so you're a medium. What is the difference between a medium and a psychic?
Okay, a very big difference. A psychic is someone who can look into future, or I say possible futures or probable futures, because I don't think things are written in stone. There is fate, there's destiny, but the fact that we have free will, you can't say, oh, you're going to get hit by a bus on Tuesday. Not that I'd ever say that. You could say, be careful so you don't get hit by a bus on Tuesday, and then you don't. But that's what a psychic is. That's where you would go to for love, career, what are my blocks? Why do I always pick the wrong person in love, health, family, career? That's a psychic. A medium is someone who speaks to the other side of the veil, speaks to guides, speaks to deceased loved ones, speaks to the dead. All mediums have the psychic gift. Not all psychics are mediums. There's a lot of people who like maybe brilliant psychics. I can tell you whatever, but it's like seeing through timelines and stuff, but not necessarily talking to dead grandma.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think it's kind of like, I don't know, we group it all together as like, oh, they talk to the dead and that's it. Like, that's how it is because of, you know, the media and how we perceive all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and no, not at all. I don't, again, some brilliant, brilliant psychics and people who are so intuitive, but just don't have that, yeah.
So are you able to perform like seances and all that kind of stuff?
I've been doing that since I was 7 years old.
Wow.
I've been talking to the other side since I could talk. When I was like 3 or 4 years old, I just knew that the so-called imaginary friend little kids have weren't imaginary. They were real spirits. I got real information was. And I do think kids have this gift. You know, often their imaginary friend isn't. But it just gets taught out of us in our modern world, of our non-mystical modern world. So it just didn't get taught out of me. And I was always kind of obsessed with the dead and talking to them. But it was never in a morbid or a dark way. It was just, I like to talk to them. So I was 7 or 8 or probably 7 and a half. And I went in my little suburban house hallway with no windows, stuffed towels under the doors. And then I realized I didn't know any dead people. And I'm like, Marilyn Monroe, I came up with old movie stars. And I came up with my first little chant and my little windowless, lightless room filled with orbs and lights and things. And as I ran out screaming with my buddy Jerry Jones, I was also jumping for joy, going, this is real, and we can control this. And so I've spent my life learning how to lift the veil, close the veil, studying religion, philosophy, belief systems, science, taking it all down to energy, which it is. Whatever template you put on top of it, religion or belief system or spirituality, the energy part is through line, whatever word you use. So that's what it is.
It's so incredible. So can you like turn it, I guess, on and off? Like
That is my saving grace, is that I have an on-off switch. I don't want to be one of those crazy people that look like they're talking to themselves that live in that other world. We have to live in this mundane world, even on my crafty part, this side of the room, that side of the room. So when I was a little kid, on and off, it makes the on that much stronger, that you can see and talk to everything. And off, you can go to the grocery store in peace. You don't want to get, your mother wants somebody in the produce department. Your mother wants to talk to you. It's like, no. And I don't even think that's ethical, because you don't want to help somebody who hasn't asked for your help, because you might be changing their karmic line. They have to ask you. I'm really big on that, which is why I hate when all the fake patties come up online and they start contacting people saying they need a reading. It's like, I would never do that. And they're scam artists to boot. But yeah, the other side is beautiful. Spirits are beautiful. Nothing dies. Science has kind of proven that. It just changes. And, you know, on TV, like even Ghost Adventures, you're going to go see the scarier of spirits, you know, because you're going to the insane asylum or the serial killer's house. But as a rule, just like with most people are good, most ghosts are good. Grandma's going to go hang out and watch through the window, watch you grow up, you know.
Oh, I love that.
They like to hang out at the place they got married, or the movie stars at the Hollywood Roosevelt hanging from the chandeliers. Good ghosts are so much more fun. Just TV likes the scary.
Yeah.
But before we continue with this interview, here's a quick message from our sponsor.
I like that you brought up the whole imaginary friend thing, because if there's one thing Arvind hates, it is imaginary friends. He is terrified every time kids will talk to him, because we volunteered in elementary school, and sometimes kids will be like, oh, I have an imaginary friend, and he will run. He hates it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like kids talking to just like things that we cannot see.
I'm done.
What, did you have one as a child?
Yeah, my sister and I both did, I remember. We were very weird.
Maybe it wasn't imaginary.
Yeah, could be. I would know.
It's not a scary. We make it scary. Hollywood makes it scary. It's no scarier than, I mean, honestly, I'm more afraid of living humans than spirits. Number one, because this is our realm of existence. Since I was a kid, I believe that. They come play in our world. We open up their world, but they really do have to play by our rules in our world. So if something comes in and you don't like it, it feels negative, or you just don't want it, even just go get out. You're banished in the name of whoever, whatever you believe in the name of God, in the name of your cat, in the name of your higher self. And guess what? They leave. Don't do it with anger, because if it is a negative spirit, it wants you to get mad. Don't do it with fear, because if it is a negative spirit, it wants you to get scared. But do it like a parent or a teacher. Nope, I'm sorry, you're not welcome. I'm trying to sleep here, go away. And they do. So they really, unless you have a severe addiction problem, that's a different story. Or unless you have a severe mental imbalance and not treated, that's a different story. But for regular old folks, this is our world.
Wow, it's very interesting.
So nothing to be scared of, nothing to be afraid of.
The reason we reached out to you in the first place, other than I don't know, I used to watch your videos on YouTube all the time, and I listened to your podcast, and I loved it, and it was so exciting. Because for our podcast, we talk about, like, the true stories that inspired horror movies. So for this episode that you're going to be in, it's for the movie Host, and we were really interested, I was really interested by it, because basically they do, like, a virtual seance over a Zoom call. And so I was wondering, I was like, can you do a virtual seance?
Yes, and I've got lots of stuff about TV and horror and do's and don'ts of that. And I do virtual seances all the time. When COVID hit, around the dining room table, 13 people, or my at a convention of 1,000 people doing a gallery went out the door. But ghosts still wanted to talk to people. People still wanted to talk. So I started doing by Zoom. They are just as connected. These little talking heads right now are just as connected, because spirit is energy. We are energy. That's what, if you guys know all the horror stuff, you know, the lights flash on and off, cameras, battery drains. That's energy. Doing something through Zoom or FaceTime or Skype, it's that same, you have that electronic connection. It is just as accurate, just as connected. I did one last week, I think, 25 people on a Zoom call from my school, my new little spiritual school, and everybody would get the goosebumps at the same time before stating it. We would all see the orb up in this aura thing. We'd all see it. We'd connect. I'd say, your mother's name was Bertha, this and this and this. We'd see it. It's just as accurate. But horror films and a horror seance, I hope they were careful, because a spirit doesn't know. Here, I'll tell you my horror film story. If you know what it wasn't, I was doing a seance. I know what I'm doing. I always have. The only time I've ever had anything negative, bad happen, I've allowed it for somehow I've dropped a ball. I was doing a seance with a lot of young people, and young people have high energy. You guys are going to have higher energy than me, that youthful whatever. But it was a table, and we were at a house that was supercharged. It was built by Charlie Chaplin. Rolling Stones lived there. Marilyn Manson was my neighbor for 7 years living there. So the house attracted chaotic, creative, a little bit dark people. Even Marilyn got scared and moved out, which he recorded there. But we were doing a seance, and this one kid, he got disrespectful. Don't ever get disrespectful with spirits, because just like humans, they don't like it. So it wasn't a demon. Demons get way too much credit. 99% of what people think is a demon is just a cranky spirit or demon wannabe. But anyway, at first he was getting a little disrespectful. And so first cool things were happening, like the French doors flew open. And the producer side of me was like, wow, that's like special effects. I'd never fake anything. My reputation depends, but that was cool. And then that happened again. And he was just, I'm feeling the agitation of the spirits. And then he said something else really stupid, and then the speakers on the floor came on, this like white noise, sounded like a spirit box. We looked later, it wasn't plugged in. That happened again. But this tension is building, and I did not keep him in line. All of a sudden, we're working on a Ouija board, which I've pretty much used safely since I was 7. But he said something really idiotic, and not him, but the cameraman facing him burst into flames, up his back, like spontaneous combustion, you guys. He was not standing in front of a fireplace or a candle. We had a four-camera shoot. So two cameras caught it, actually caught spontaneous. One camera, like, all of a sudden started filming the ceiling or the floor. You do test the metal of a camera person by a room bursting into flame. His camera, of course, was facing the wrong direction. He's wondering why everyone's screaming and pointing at him, poor guy. And so me, all of a sudden, cool, you know, medium witch Patty becomes medic, which I am. I'm an EMT. I'm like, drop it, wall. I'm calling in my guardian. Shut it down. Shut it down. Seance, veil closed, curtain closed. I'm like, oh, my God. Burning off him. His shirt burn off him like poo cotton. It should not burn off him like a nylon or synthetic would have. It's just like, oh, my God. I'm looking at the blistering. I'm like, we are done. No one. Oh, this is not good. No one burst into flame on my watch. And the cameraman, who was a super, super skeptic, not believer, was like so in awe of spontaneously combusting. He's like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, you're not fine. No, I'm okay. I have a sweater. I could take off the burnt shirt and he had a sweater. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, you have to go to the doctor afterwards. I talked to the spirit. I talked to the ghost. And I'm like, come on, dude. We're not even going to get rid of you. I'm not going to shut it down. We just want to talk to you. So the ghost promised more or less that he would be okay, more or less. The kid who caused all that by his disrespect was no longer going to be disrespectful. He became like the choir boy in the corner, like, I'm not going to say that word, scared to death. So we were able to finish it. And we got some still crazy stuff. Glass flew out of a cupboard from 15 feet away, stuff I've never seen before or since. They tried to push the cameraman off the car. We could make the frogs down in the creek below stop and start with will. It's like insane. But the part which turns this into a happy story and a story for horror films is he showed me like 3 weeks later his back where he had, I saw the blistering, and it totally looked almost like he had went and got a tattoo of a dragon. Open mouth, oh. Sharp teeth.
Oh my gosh.
Winged head into the shape of a serpent. And that is the exact energy I called in to shut down the seance. I don't know if you know any of myself. I work dragon magic. And I'm looking at this little thing on his back in scar tissue. I'm like, oh my God, you have a tramp stamp of a dragon on your back. That is about the coolest thing I've ever seen. He thought so too. He was so impressed by this, the skeptic talk. He actually wrote a script. He wrote a horror film. It's called The Portal. They haven't done it yet, but he wrote it if they do. He wrote it with Stephen Norrington, the guy who wrote The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. He wrote the whole Blade series. He's got a real left of center of Hollywood. So it's funny and scary, which I like in a horror film. He wrote this horror film. They haven't done it yet because they've both been too busy. I hope they do. Whoever plays me, I hope is fabulous. But it's about a TV psychic medium who does every TV show about me. And then something happens and a portal opens. And then it becomes a horror film. But I'm sitting there with the script with him going, Lauren, you can't say that. He goes, you said that. I go, I know I said that, but that opens the gates. You can't say that. A spirit or energy does not know the difference of an actor reading a script and somebody doing real ritual. You don't want to be one of those cursed horror films, do you? Which happens all the time. Exorcist, where all the actors die at 27 because spirits don't know, and it becomes a cursed horror film. So we changed all the words. They sound just as scary to anybody else, but they're not going to actually do something. So horror films really do need an expert on hand to know energetically that it doesn't attach itself to the film or the energy or the words coming off the film or the actions. So that's just for anybody out there who wants to make a horror film. Have somebody trained in the occult or spirituality or occult sciences that pertain to whatever kind of magic you're doing. If it's vampire magic, have somebody who knows the true philosophy, cosmology behind vampires or werewolves or witches, especially, or anything horror. Know what you're talking about. So anyway, I've heard about that film you guys are talking about. Yes, you can certainly do a film by seance. And yes, you probably could call in something weird that happens. I don't know the film, but I'm just assuming that something happens to the people watching it or part of it, right?
Yeah. That's
it can happen.
It's how do you do a seance? Is it like, because, I mean, everything's from the media, right? So it's like you hold hands, the lights are off, and it's like.
I only hold hands, especially in the age of COVID, if we need to close a circle. And if you do it left palm up, right palm down, because this is your receiving, giving. Mine is very stylized just because I was born this way. Like almost like the spiritualist turn of the last century, very Victorian spiritualist. You could do it lots of ways. I do think you have to set up protectors. It's not just lift the veil. Some people just, they don't know how officially they are doing it. Since I've been doing a kit, I literally lift that curtain between our world and your world. So everybody at the table or on the Zoom or in the exhibit hall, if you're a little psychic, now you're a lot psychic or mediumship. If you have a little bit of sight, you're going to have a lot. It lifts the veil. So everybody's going to be able to see a little bit at least, or hear or smell or taste or experience. I work elementally. Number one, I'm a pagan. But number two, that's not going to like Native Americans, air and fire and water and earth. I work this dragon energy. People understand the strength and solidity of a tree with deep roots and branches that can touch the heavens, or the flow of water, or the stableness of earth. So that's how I call my corners to set it up. I do have some certain Victorian things. I light candles. I have things I really do say, light and dark are turning, luck be in the burning, black spirits and white, red spirits and gray, mingle, 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 who may, fada tap tap, around and about, a world within and a world without, the good stay in and the ill stay out. I have something Victorian I always say, there is a place, which is very turn of the last, there is a place where we all go, where ne'er the frost or cold winds blow, and friends remembered reunite, and those who hate forget their spite. We gather round these gentle beings, we call you now to bless our meeting, and for the spirit, and for the living, these spirits do thrive, and now for the living, may the dead come alive. With the ringing of this bell, we lift the veil twixt heaven and hell to call the spirits to us now as we lift our sacred bell. And you ring a bell. Bells call in spirits. That's why churches have bells and temples have bells and people have bells. Bells call in spirits. So we ring them in. I call the east winds to protect and blow away anything that's blocking communication and blow away anything dark. I call the fires of the south, again, to burn away dark spirits or anything negative and to mold it into the shape of a heart. I call in the sweet waters of the west, the mists of the ancestors to rise. The emotion, which is almost 60% of our body, is water, so we can emotionally attach to the spirits. I call in, again, the north, like the spirit of a tree, of the earth, so we can stay grounded and talk to the spirits. So everybody's protected. My seance, I say, call in within your belief system or your cosmology. You work with Jesus, call in Jesus. You work with Buddha, call in Buddha. You work with Allah, call in that. You work with angels, call in angels. You work with cats, call in cats. You're a science person, call in science. Doesn't matter. It's the energy thereof. We create this energy. So again, no one's going to go home with anything. I shut it down afterwards. You're not going to get attachment. But most people don't know that. Even just like with Ouija boards, I've been safely using them, except for my little mistake, you know, since I was a little kid. I don't think they should be sold in toy stores. I think they should, you have to be an adult to buy them. I think they should have a completely opposite set of directions. Like, not, this is a toy, and again, like, this is not a toy. Be careful who you call in. You don't want to go, anybody out there? You don't open your front door and say, anybody there, come on in. Let the serial killer next door or the drunk on the corner. No, you're specific who you let in your house. The same thing with the Ouija board. It's easy. You just have a consciousness of it. Wake it up, shut it down, and you're fine. But same thing with horror films. So I don't know. What were you going to ask me about that film? Again, I haven't seen it. But if that is the concept, I certainly do that. I mean, of course, Hollywood's probably going to go further than reality. But sometimes reality goes as far. Like, again, I had somebody burst into flames. I had glasses throwing across. I had French doors falling. Just like in the movies, I'm kind of like, what the? Holy moly, this is better than we get on Ghost Adventures or with my new TFIL boys. It's like, wow. And the veil is getting thinner. More and more stuff unexplainable to our old paradigm is going to start happening as we move into this age of Aquarius. So I totally think that could happen.
It's fascinating. I love this. This is so exciting.
So I guess now going back to, I know you were talking about the cameraman, he was a skeptic, right? So what are your feelings on those who are skeptics? Like, I personally am a skeptic.
I love skeptics. And I think, and I usually start out a place of skeptic. I do want to debunk things first, too. It's like, is that somebody walking around upstairs? Is that gravity hitting whatever? Because if you just believe everything, like, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah, that's a good... that negates all the stuff that is real. I love skeptics, and I will stand up to any, and it's okay to be a skeptic, and you don't have to believe what I believe. I'm not like a proselytizing person. Some people just don't want to believe in something else, and they don't have to. You have to believe what I believe. There's lots of truths out there, and my truth may not be your truth. Like, for me to get to my house, to get to your house, to get to your house, there's not one way. You can walk, you can fly, you can drive, you can take a boat. And you know, who's to say this is the right way or not? Some people really have to live in a world where they see what you see is what you get, or they have to live in a world where they can scientifically understand or logicalize it. There's much more left brain people, logical brain, or right brain people, more intuitive or spiritually or artistically brain. I think we need both, and we have to dance between both. I couldn't live in a world just of all logic and skeptic. And actually, most people can't. And even a skeptic usually isn't just living by logic. The best are those that can dance between logic and intuition, knowledge in the sense of knowing. You know, so, but I love skeptics, number one, and there's certain skeptics, you could have, you know, the burning bush of Moses, and somebody, three aliens, a ghost, and a werewolf floating 2 feet off the ground, and they're not going to believe it, and you can logicalize anything if you want to, and that's okay, that's fun, and it's good to have the back and forth, you don't want to be the same, but it's funny, because my grandfather was this kind of very famous, I came from Turkey, he was this very famous psychoanalyst, psychologist, philosopher. He was completely academic, completely science-based, very Freudian in his work. He hung out with like Carl Sagan, Isaac Asimov, Steve Allen, all these old Hollywood greats, Norman Lear, all science. He was, in a sense, a religious scholar, but he did not believe in anything religious or spiritual or supernatural. He thought it was a weakness. He was an expert on every religion. He could quote the Bible, the Quran, everything, but he didn't believe. I read his books now, years later, and it's like, oh, wait, Grandpa, you sort of believe the same thing I do. You just use different words. You use academic words and science words. But again, like I said earlier, if you just look at the through line of the energy, if you want to call it universal truths, it doesn't have to use the word God or ghost or spirit or angel. You could use the word science and energy. But the similarities are beyond ridiculous, that it's all the same thing. Yeah. It's like a template you put on top. So if somebody wants a very academic, scientific, yay, go for it.
Okay, then on that sense, as believers or non-believers, either way, do we as humans like open up ourselves to the supernatural possibilities?
Yeah, and again, the more open to it, the more open you are going to be to it. Because if you are going, there's no such thing as ghosts and spirits, there's no such thing, you're much less likely to see one that's going, I'm open to seeing one, which is true of everything and anything in our lives, of opportunity. I'm not ever going to make it rich. You're going to keep yourself from getting rich. I'm open to the pot, you know, pot of gold. We do that. So, but we are. I think that 90% of the brain that we don't use, that's where all magic is, whether it's supernatural, spiritual, magical, religious, or just science. We are kind of probably levitate and see things on the other side, you know, once we start to harness that. And science and spirituality are coming together like a freight train right now. That's with getting into quantum sciences, you know.
Yeah.
And soon science is going to poof spirituality, and spirituality is going to go, yeah, we've known that all.
You know? I joke around with Arvin a lot sometimes, where I go, oh, the longer we do this podcast, because we talk primarily about ghosts and spirits, the more we open ourselves up to the possibility of having some kind of paranormal encounter. So is that like a real thing? The more we talk about it, the more...
it is. Completely. It is. Again, the openness to it. Again, even the guy who caught on fire was a total skeptic. So there you go. And again, I do think more and more unexplainable stuff is going to happen, because it is a different world. You know, I'm not an astrologer, but as we're stepping into that age of Aquarius, it's different. It is not the black and white, solid ground, right and wrong world of our parents' parents, your grandparents. There's no solid ground. Like, look at the world. It's like this. So you've kind of got to dance between. So more, again, more people are going to see spirits and things, the veil's thinning. It's the Aquarian world.
I wondered, though, so when you have a seance, is the intention to talk to, like, somebody in the group's dead loved one? Do you have to set forth an intention? Like, okay, I'm going to talk to Brad when we do the seance and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Completely. Like, if we're doing a mediumship one-on-one and we want to talk to whatever, if we're doing a seance, I have people call in. Who do you want to talk to? I want to talk to my grandma. Okay, so, well, let's call in your grandma and I'll go. Okay, your grandma had, you know, she wore 14 rings on. The red curly hair, right. So it gives something that they know. You know, have people whisper their names. I have them invite them in. Spirits love it. Spirits love it. Again, on TV, they just want to go talk to the serial killer and the prisons and the estate asylums. And because that's what TV likes. We like horror films. We don't like, let's go talk to grandma. In my real seances, I've gotten everything. You know, sometimes it's really practical information, like sad things. One girl, she passed, the parents couldn't find the cell phone. The spirit told me where her cell phone was so they could get it. Another one, crazy, this young guy passed, and there his wife sat, again, about a cell phone, but she did not know the iPhone code. And all there was 1,000 pictures and videos in it of the little kid and him and the mom. So the spirit gave me the iPhone code. It's 722, whatever that is. And they were practical stuff. Where's the will? Where'd you hide the jewelry? And a lot of times people's like, they want, oh, let mom or let grandma or let whatever know that I'm sorry I wasn't there when you passed away is so common. And then grandma's going to go, I didn't want you there. I waited until you left. I wanted to do it on my own. Okay, you know.
Wow.
It's when people pass, it's like they're the same person. They're not suddenly enlightened. They're the same, but they do get a slightly higher perspective. A lot of the pettiness goes away, the little argument you had or you didn't talk or you didn't call enough. Maybe it is a higher perspective because it's literally they're from the heavens looking down. I don't know. But they send, they're the same person, but just a higher perspective as a rule.
So then with all the encounters you've had, what's your favorite of all of them?
I think the craziest one would be my favorite one, and that's the Cecil Hotel with Ghost Adventures, because that totally possessed me. I didn't know where I was going. Zach never tells me where I'm going. He called me like 2 weeks before. He said, we're coming to LA. We're going to need you. Okay. Didn't hear from him. Normal. 2 weeks later, he's like, I was down in Long Beach at my brother's. He goes, okay, Patty, we're here. Can you get here in 2 hours? And he gave me some downtown address. I'm a girl. I'm like, 2 hours? Did I brush my hair today? Do I have time to take a shower? Okay. And I know he didn't say Cecil. And I get there and I saw that, oh, that's the water tower girl. But I didn't know anything else. And then I don't know if you guys saw that episode, but I let him, all of a sudden I'm like totally getting possessed because I allow that to happen. And they're like, they just jump in. They're like, once a rat who didn't want to let me in finally let me in, he's like, okay, there's 700 rooms, there's 14 floors, they're all in luck, where to go? It's like, ah, and I let him right to a room where I start, you know, almost wanting to jump out of a window. I'm like, and he's just yelling at me. I'm in a trance state. I'm like, I just got to get out of here. I got to get some air. And he's yelling, Patty, sit down. Why are you over? Like, in my little trance state, it's like, why is he yelling at me? He never yells at me. And I led them right to a room where somebody jumped out that window. And then so we got out of that room, and now sadly they're having low income people, and I'm scared to death for them to move in. That building affects you, because I went back. I've done a few things there. I just shot a CW show that hasn't aired yet, but I shot with my YouTubers I work with now. I don't know if you watch TFIL. We did a 4-part special there, but I was channeling again, because that was a place of a lot of drugs and a lot of drug users, you know, very sad people, which always brings in the dark stuff. And I thought I was talking. I was with the guys, and I was in the hall where I think people used to go smoke or whatever. And I thought I was just talking and channeling, because to me it's very dream state. And I'm like, da 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 da. All they heard, the guys, gibberish, blah, blah, blah. And I thought I was talking. But Corey, who's really intuitive self, he goes, we should play that backwards. And they played it backwards, and I was talking English backwards. That's wild.
Whoa.
I can't even do my alphabet backwards. Really, I can't miss up words. I can't, like, the word jumble. Like, if you got pulled over by cops and think, well, you've been drinking, do your alphabet backwards. I can't do my alphabet backwards. X, Y, Z, Z, I can't. So talking backwards, playing it backwards, and all of a sudden gibberish became, I am so sorry, I've got to do this, whatever. It was crazy.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Cecil is wild. I think the darkest place other than that, which is a whole created egg for gore, this some spirit created that affects dead people and holds them there. It affects living people and makes them do horrible things and be depressed. The Black Dahlia house is really dark and icky. And that guy, I've done a couple shows there. Ghost Adventures 1, I did a show before that where I channeled that Dr. Hodel, who's evil, evil spirit, man. And then once I was doing things at my house, which is pretty protected, but the second time that I kind of dropped the ball, I didn't set up my protectors right. And I was working with my then producer. And George Hodel came in and he pushed me so hard against the back of my chair. I heard this crack, crack, crack. And I thought I broke my ribs. And I'm sliding down to the floor in excruciating pain. And my producer goes, are you okay? I'm like, no. And I always say I'm okay. I could have my arm cut off and go, it's a flesh wound. I'm fine. But I'm like, no. I had to go to urgent care. And he had hit me so hard, pushed me so hard, it literally ripped the cartilage off my ribs and bone ribs.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
So it was like, oh, he's horrible. And he knows what he's doing. He's a doctor. So that's dark. But I've had some really fun stuff, too. Really, again, fun ghosts are way more fun.
Yeah. I heard that you met Charlie Chaplin. That seems like something really exciting.
Yes, that was my very first ghost adventures before I was ever going to become a semi-regular on it. That was the 2015, I think, and it was the Haunted Hollywood episode, and they were at the American Legion, and they had recently been there. Again, that Arts Council where I put art, we had done a fundraiser, and I'd done a ghost tour, like, everybody dressed up, and I talked to Charlie Chaplin, and I didn't think much of it, but I guess the place that I said he sat was his regular seat that he sat every Friday night or something. So the people who ran the American Legion told Zach, and so they called me in, like, every show. They call in either the local person who experienced something or the local psychic or medium, and that's what my first one was. Yeah, he was right there, and I told him what he had told me. That was cool. I've talked to several celebrities, big in life, big in death, and so they're fun. If you're Bob the Quiet Banker in life, you're Bob the Quiet Ghost. If you're Charlie Chaplin or some rock star or, you know, Marilyn Monroe, big in life, big in death. Yeah. Marilyn Monroe hangs around the Hollywood Roosevelt all the time. I see her by the pool, walking by in this, like, chiffon pool cover.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I do have to admit something to you and be honest here. Arvind and I have talked a lot about ghost adventures over our podcast because we don't exactly believe maybe in some of the legitimacy of it. I think sometimes we would watch the episodes and be like, is this rigged? Is this real?
100% not rigged.
Okay.
100%. There is editing.
Yeah.
It takes 4 days to shoot a 44-minute segment. So they're going to cut out the blah, blah. But no, Zach is so careful about that. I do not know where I'm going. If they have to, they will blindfold me, throw me in the trunk of a car. I just work portals to hell. Same thing. They didn't even tell me where they were flying me until, plane ticket. But Zay does not know. If I do know the story, he won't even have me go in. He does not want anything preset. Like when I sent him to the Pasadena Ritual House, he didn't have me go examine it because I knew it. When I sent him to two or three places, all right. But I don't know what I'm, so there's no, like the chats were about, people died in this room. I don't know anything. I used to get so scared. It's like, what if I go in there and get crickets? It's like, here's the location, go in, you don't know the history, period. That's why he freaked out so much on that live one. I don't know if you saw the 4-hour live when the rabbi, they called in a rabbi because they were going to open the Dybbuk box. And the rabbi goes, I don't follow your script here. Zach freaked out. There is no script. They won't even allow a beat sheet. But he meant, I don't follow your belief system. I don't believe that Dybbuk boxes are cursed Jewish thing. But they whisked them off and never seen again. And then Zach went on YouTube and said, tell everybody what you meant. I don't do scripts. My reputation depends. That's not how I make my living. My living is my practice,
yeah.
Writing, my live stuff. I would never, ever allow to fake anything, and I won't do a show that does. And he prides himself. But there is editing.
Yeah.
But again, I can't speak for any show I've never done, but any show I've done.
Yeah.
No. And it's certainly Ghost Adventures. They wouldn't be in their, like, 24th season.
If yeah.
And what makes it seem a little wacky and why it's also in the 24th season is because they believe and they are committed. They 100% are there. It's like, I always talk dials, like my microphone dial, 0 to 10, 0 to 10. People say it's like they're jumping like this. They're like little kids. Like you go watch little 8-year-olds play in the sandbox and they're in their world. They're committed.
Yeah.
There's not like, what am I going to look like or am I going to look cool? That's how Zach and Aaron and Jay and Billy are. So that's why some people think, oh, it's got to be fake, but it isn't. It's just that they've got it dialed up to 110.
We love that. I want to go to see his museum in Las Vegas.
It's great.
Because we covered the Cecil Hotel in an episode a while ago. We covered the Dybbuk Box in an episode in a while ago. And that was like our big one day a cross country road trip plan to go to his like haunted museum and see this Dybbuk Box just because it was very fascinating to us. And it was like, Do you think it's safe though to house things that might have like this much negative energy attached to it in one place? Yeah,
he actually, I believe, he's got a lot of protection in it. And they even sell, like, Palo Santo sticks at the end. I think it took him a long time to build it. Because, yes, he wants people to get affected. Every once in a while, people pass out. Every once in a while, people go crazy. But as a rule, it's protective. I remember we were shooting before it existed. I don't know if you guys remember the spinoff. It was called Deadly Possessions. It's when it was shown. That was the beginning of the museum. They had literally rented that building and he had done two or three rooms. The doll rooms, that's when he flew in Peggy the doll, who now curses at me when I go. It's like, hi Peggy, you look so pretty. And she goes into like this truck driver language. Oh, you remember me. But no, and he told me that he'd done two or three rooms, the rest just looked like an old house, old mansion. But he said the very next day he was going to go to the Las Vegas City Council and ask if he could buy the building and open a museum. And if they said yes, he would buy the building and open it. And he did. But it took like another year and a half. And I think he's got lots of protections down there. Like when I did the thing, one of the things with Lady Snake, no one ever had gone. He would not let people in the basement until there was some form of protection. When I went down there, it was crazy. Now people can do flash. And if you guys do the VIP, it's worth a little bit more money. Do the VIP when you guys go. It's a little extra and you get to go to other places and you get to go in the basement. But I think it does have a sense. He knows what he's doing. Protection. It's not going to be dangerous. You're sensitive. You are really sensitive. So again, just when you walk out, go, nothing's coming with me. Take your hands off. Come protected. Put oil on the back of your neck. Even if this is the biggest portal on your body. Right, neck go together. So just wipe it off. Nothing's going home and you'll be fine. And if you need to step out of a room, they let you. They even say, if you don't want to go in this room, you don't want to go in the demon house, you don't have to. If you don't want to go in a Peggy's room, you don't have to. You don't want to. But go everywhere. If you need to step out, that's okay. You're fine. Remember, it's your realm.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. One, I think, last question, but I guess, like, having this ability that you have being a medium, something that gets, like, passed down, is it, like, a hereditary thing? Or is it just, like, anybody has it?
Everybody, I do believe everybody can learn. I do believe kids really have it and it gets taught out of us in modern world. I different degrees of it. I do think everybody can learn. Like, not everybody can be is great. Like, everybody can study piano and not everybody's going to be a virtuoso piano. I studied piano for 2 years. I could read music. They're never going to put me on stage. But I do believe we can learn it. That's why I started the school, too, because, again, there's so much out there that people don't realize the power that they have as humans. We have this free will thing we have, this power thing we do. I think people can learn it. That's why we started the university.
Yeah, right. So cool. Thank you so much for coming on.
You can learn.
Yes.
Thank you for having me, you guys. You guys are adorable. So keep it up, and skeptics are good. And
yeah.
Go for it. Keep learning.
What an incredible interview that was. Another huge, huge thank you to Patty for coming on to this episode and teaching us all about being a medium and what it takes to conduct a seance. I can't say whether Arvind and I will ever host a seance ourselves, but I'm not saying that it's off the table completely.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, before we close off this episode, I want to return back to our question for the season. Do humans willingly put themselves in possible hauntings, or is it all paranoia? What do you think?
I'm going to have to say it's complicated, but
okay.
More specific than that, I think humans, in my belief that the paranormal is real, put themselves in possible hauntings in the sense where they go to a location where the house is haunted or something that comes into their possession is haunted, and they choose to stay with it even after stuff starts going wrong. I think that's when it's like the human psyche at the weakest point, and they keep themselves there, you know? I think that's what it is.
Okay, honestly, that's respectable. Like, I definitely agree with you that it's definitely a mix. You couldn't pick one. Like, for example, put themselves in possible hauntings, the one that comes to the mind most recently is our episode that we just did on Chucky, where actually, you know, there's people who went up to Robert the doll and were like, make fun of him or do things to his face to see, like, oh, will he place a curse on me? Like, at that point, you're putting yourself into whatever happens. Now, nothing exactly paranormal is happening, but you're still forcing yourself into these situations. However, a lot of the time, I think it is paranoia. By, like, if you look back at our earlier episodes, the stuff we talked about with the season with Bermuda, with Mothman, a lot of the others, I mean, these are more like urban legends that are going around that people just get into their own heads too much. They start seeing things out of the corner of their eyes.
Okay, I respect that. Did we come to a conclusion? No, but however we're going to leave it, one thing Arvind and I can agree on is your overwhelming support for making this podcast possible. If it weren't for you guys, we wouldn't have hit the massive milestones we did. This season, we hit 1,000 listens, a number that grows every single day. We've also found ourselves some devoted followers. A shout out to the people in Seattle, Washington, who listened to our episode within the first hour when they're released. We were also listened to in over 20 countries and 30 states in the U.S. And overall, just a humongous thank you to you guys so much.
But this, of course, isn't the last of us, because Yeshvi and I will be arguing over the existence of the paranormal for probably our entire lives. So be sure to come back for October 28th for our Halloween special. And we hope you never forget
that there's always more to uncover behind the story.
See you next time.